Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Illustrated Guide to Visible Learning, An Introduction to What Works Best in Schools, is a concise professional education book that translates John Hattie and colleagues' Visible Learning research into a visually accessible guide for classroom and school use. Published by Corwin for pre-K-12 educators, it belongs to the evidence-informed teaching and professional learning genre rather than to a theoretical education text. Its purpose is to help teachers, instructional coaches, and school leaders understand the central claim of visible learning teaching improves when educators systematically examine their impact and when students understand what they are learning, how success will be judged, and what actions will move them forward. The book draws on the broader visible learning evidence base, including the use of effect sizes to compare influences on achievement, but its distinctive function is introductory and practical. It organizes complex research into usable concepts, illustrations, and classroom-facing strategies that support clearer instruction, better feedback, and stronger student ownership of learning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, effect sizes as a tool for prioritizing instructional effort. A central idea in the book is that educators need a disciplined way to distinguish practices that merely sound plausible from practices that have a stronger record of improving learning. Visible learning uses effect sizes to compare the relative influence of different interventions, strategies, and school conditions on student achievement. The well-known benchmark of 0-4, often described as the zone of desired effects, is not presented as a mechanical rule for choosing programs, but as a reference point for professional judgment. The value of this approach is that it shifts conversations away from preference, tradition, or novelty and toward evidence of impact. For teachers, this means asking whether a classroom routine is actually helping students progress. For leaders, it means allocating professional learning time to practices with a stronger likelihood of benefit. The illustrated format helps make this statistical idea less abstract by connecting evidence to recognizable classroom decisions, such as how to use feedback, clarify goals, and monitor progress. Secondly, teacher clarity through learning intentions and success criteria. The book gives substantial attention to teacher clarity because learning becomes more manageable when students know the intended destination and the standards for reaching it. In the visible learning framework, clarity is not simply an organized lesson plan or a well-written objective on the board. It involves communicating learning intentions in student-accessible language and pairing them with success criteria that show what quality work or understanding looks like. This matters because students cannot regulate their progress if the target remains implicit. Clear intentions also help teachers align instruction, questioning, tasks, and assessment instead of treating them as separate events. The practical reasoning is straightforward when students can answer what they are learning and how they will know they have learned it. Classroom time is less likely to be consumed by confusion or compliance. The guide emphasizes clarity as a shared reference point, allowing teachers and students to discuss evidence of learning rather than relying on vague judgments such as effort or participation. Thirdly, feedback and formative assessment as evidence for next steps. Visible learning places feedback and formative assessment at the center of effective teaching because they reveal the gap between current performance and desired learning. The book treats feedback less as teacher commentary after work is completed and more as information that helps both teacher and student decide what to do next. Formative assessment serves a similar function. It is valuable when it changes instruction, prompts reteaching, identifies misconceptions, or helps students adjust strategies. This view is important because many classrooms collect data without using it meaningfully. The guide encourages educators to ask whether feedback is timely, understandable, and connected to clear criteria. It also implies that feedback should move in multiple directions. Teachers provide students with guidance, students provide evidence of what they understand, and students learn to evaluate their own progress. The practical benefit is a tighter instructional loop. Rather than waiting for final grades to reveal failure or success, teachers gather evidence during learning and respond before misunderstandings become entrenched. Fourthly, developing students who can monitor and direct their own learning. Another important theme is the movement from teacher-managed learning towards student agency. Hattie has often summarized visible learning as teachers seeing learning through the eyes of students and helping students become their own teachers. In this guide, that principle translates into practices that support self-assessment, goal-setting, metacognition, and self-regulation. The reasoning is that students learn more effectively when they can identify where they are, compare their work with success criteria, choose strategies, and seek feedback. This does not mean reducing teacher responsibility. Instead, it makes teaching more deliberate because students are apprenticed into the habits of expert learners. The book is useful here because it links student ownership to concrete classroom conditions, clear goals, visible progress, accessible criteria, and feedback students can act on. It also avoids treating agency as a personality trait, Students become more independent when classrooms repeatedly teach them how to judge quality, monitor effort, recover from errors, and make informed decisions about their next steps. Lastly, implementation depends on context, collaboration, and sustained inquiry. The book is an introduction, but I said it is a possible to, and but it also points toward a larger implementation challenge. Evidence does not improve learning unless educators adapt it thoughtfully to their students, subjects, and school conditions. Visible learning is sometimes misunderstood as a ranking list of strategies to copy. The stronger interpretation, reflected in the guide, is that teachers and leaders should use evidence as the starting point for inquiry into their own impact. This requires collaboration, shared language, and ongoing examination of student learning rather than isolated reading or one-time training. School leaders and instructional coaches can use the book to support professional conversations about clarity, feedback, assessment, and student agency. But consistent application requires routines for planning, observation, reflection, and adjustment. The illustrated design helps teams develop common understanding quickly, yet it cannot replace local professional judgment. Its practical strength is that it makes research approachable enough to begin implementation while still reminding educators that effectiveness depends on how well strategies are enacted with real learners. In conclusion, the Illustrated Guide to Visible Learning is best suited for classroom teachers, instructional coaches, school leaders, teacher teams, and professional development facilitators who want a compact entry point into evidence-informed instruction. Readers who are new to Hattie research will gain a clear orientation to effect sizes, teacher clarity, feedback, formative assessment, and student agency. Readers already familiar with visible learning may value the book as a shared professional learning resource because its visual structure can help groups develop common language without requiring everyone to begin with a longer research synthesis. Its practical benefit lies in helping educators ask better questions. What impact is my teaching having? What evidence shows that students are learning, and what should happen next? Intellectually, it encourages a more disciplined view of teaching as continuous evaluation of impact rather than delivery of activities. Compared with many education books that advocate a single method, this one stands out by combining a broad research base with an accessible design and a focus on decision-making. It does not remove the need for contextual judgment or sustained coaching, but it offers a usable map of high-impact practices. Its strongest value is as a bridge between large-scale educational research and the everyday decisions teachers make about goals, evidence, feedback, and learner independence. If you would like to support John Hattie, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.